1. This thing good, Matt. I asked Sally about, I don't know, 20 minutes ago or 30 minutes ago if he would draw a picture, and I kind of gave him 4 or 5 words in kind of my mind, so I'm not sure what he's going to draw. We'll see. This morning, I didn't really share a lot about the week there. I was certainly thankful to be there again, and it just helps to be there. I found in my own heart again the needs of being able to submit my heart to teaching and learning again. It's a tremendous blessing. Almost think we should just let him draw that, and then I'm sure it'll be just fine, Sally. When I worked at the shop, he was always a really good three-dimensional drawing person, so that's why I asked him. I can't draw, so I'll tell you what. Let's watch what he draws a bit here, and I'll give you some words to have in your mind as he does that. And I'll come back. All right, so here's some words. Remember this. Shepherd. Sheep. A flock. A fold. Pastures. Wolves. And danger. Keep those words in your mind. As he draws a little bit there, and I'll just come up to that point kind of in an introduction here. First of all, why don't we pray? Let us pray. Maybe, Steve, would you want to pray just from your seat there or whatever?
Given him, and this is what we need, and Father, help us for life. We can be changed, Lord. We can
be. Amen. Thank you. I guess that was my prayer this morning and yesterday. Just that I only want to be a vessel here today, and that's it. That's it. I don't have, if it was for me, I have nothing, I don't have much to share. I trust the Lord will lay a little burden upon all of our hearts here and mine together with you. I'd like to greet you in Jesus' name, and I'm just going to read off just kind of an introduction here. In that name which we have, salvation, hope, love, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We heard about that Friday night. I so appreciated Brother Sam's message, and my mind went back to a day, I'm not sure how many years ago. It probably was 12, 14, 15 years ago when Brother Sam and his dad, how many remember that? Maybe my dad's front yard over here. they came out, and I kind of picture they just come into this sort of an unsafe situation. And I remember, I think it was old Monroe or Sam himself, I'm not sure. He had his briefcase. He opened his Bible, had a message for us. And it's those faithful men that made a difference. It wasn't a big splash or a big scene, but they just came and they preached. Jesus, the greatest name that was ever heard on the lips of mortal man. Is he my king? Is he my savior? Is he the great shepherd? Will I be true to him to the very end? Will we be true in our personal lives? That's the question. As we get to bear that in our minds too, the little bit of burden that I have in my heart to share, to being true in our personal lives may well be one of the key answers to what we're talking about here. True to God in our personal lives. Is Jesus my great shepherd? Am I a part of the flock of God, the true flock that will be led unto the end, the one that will pass through the judgment, the flock that will be led down the narrow pathway, over the rocky paths, over the mountains, through the deep and dark valleys? Is this myself? Is this you all? Thank you, Sally. The thoughts of my heart are on these things that I reflect in the past week. And I thought, too, why all the bother to go and spend a week sitting under the teaching and praying together, confessing our faults? I mean, Tuesday morning, rather, it was snowing so hard, and there was a great temptation to I just have so much going. How can I go? But little did I know that I needed to. I find this needful in my life, and amongst many reasons. And I and my family, and I'm sure you and yours as well, we want to make it unto the end. Our desire is to be faithful, to walk humbly, to live a holy life, separated unto God, to be amongst the flock that will pass through those golden gates into the end, into eternal life and glory with the Father, and hear those blessed words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May God help us, myself first. These thoughts began to come on Friday as we sat and heard the word preached again. And as I thought about this, that there is one part of this subject that I won't have many of my own words because I don't feel qualified for it at all. I don't feel qualified for any part of it, rather. But I feel unworthy and incapable to speak on this subject. And I'm sure many of you could do much better. But by the grace of God, I would like to take a bit of a journey through some scriptures today. Please, as we do so, have these words in your mind. Shepherd, sheep, flock, fold, pastures, wolves, and danger. And I'm sure you could add more to that. That picture, I was just picturing this as I was sitting there, listening. And now if we could, I'd like to read some scriptures, actually several scriptures. And then we'll come kind of to the message here. Psalm 23 will be the first one. Turn your Bibles there if you'd like. And Psalm 23. And if you have a Bible, it's a blessing to turn to it and read it. I think that's, in my estimation, it just seems, it takes a little time, but there's something good about that. Turning to that word and reading the Bible. If it takes a little extra time, that's okay. All right, you all ready there? Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's turn to John chapter 10 and read some verses there. Again, if you can turn to it, that's a blessing. I didn't even see what Sally drew here. Okay, so interesting. So it's obviously the fold, and there's some sheep in there. And I told Sally that this is shepherds, and I am, across. Just picture across it all. Picture across the top, the words chief shepherd. Okay, just remember that. Chief shepherd, and Brother Dale talked about shepherds as those brothers amongst us here being that to us. We need it. That's what kind of the picture of those two, and you'll see in the scriptures why I asked Sally to put those sort of, maybe in the door, maybe outside watching a little bit. That's the shepherds. That's their job. They care. They lead. The Bible says, if you read the scriptures and interpret some of the meanings, it says to lead. That's what it means. That's what the Bible means. And I'm going to try to stay very close to that. So let's go, John chapter 10. I'm going to read 30 verses. So stay together and let's read here, okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, now I'll make something clear here before I go into this. I think the scripture, this is my thinking here, the scripture is talking about Jesus Christ being the shepherd here, and the sheep being all of God's people. That's kind of what I think this shows, and I think it's what this is pertaining to. Could it mean the shepherds amongst us and us the sheep? It may be. I don't know, but I'm not going to interpret it that way because I'm not sure. Let's just picture it as the shepherd of Jesus Christ, God the Father, and we all. Let's read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. We can just stop for a moment. I had a picture of that, Friday or Thursday, whenever. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. I think that could apply to a church. I think it could. That's my opinion. I don't know if that's scripture, but that's my opinion. And verse 4 as well, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I think that may apply here as well. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Picture the door here at the entrance of the fold, the sheep. I'm not sure if you could picture this. Maybe the fold could be maybe a movable fold where it could be taken down perhaps, and the shepherds would see different pasture over here. They could take it and move it, and the sheep could go in and out. As the shepherd is watching around, he looks at the grass. Is it safe to eat? Is there something here that's going to hurt them? Maybe he looks out. He goeth before them, and he kind of looks, and he's careful. And the sheep go in and out and find pasture. Okay, let's read here. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Interestingly enough, it says in verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again amongst the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem in the feast of the dedication. It was winter time. Winter. And Jesus walked in the temple at Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. We want to know, they were saying. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In verse 30, beautiful, I and my Father are one. You know, there's safety. There's safety there. You know, the Father God and Jesus Christ himself and us in that hand, it's the safest place we can ever be. And Lord, help me and us when we go away from that, when we venture off into another, we can't go there. Okay, so I have in my mind some pictures this morning, and I'll try to share them with you. Number one, there is a chief shepherd over all. You have to remember that. He is the ruler of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who died upon the cross for the sins of all and is risen again and sits on the right hand of God the Father. I have to read two verses here for you. 1 Peter 5:4, and you're welcome to turn. I'm going to be turning too, so you probably get there before I do. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Ephesians 1:19 to 23. Turn to there. Ephesians 1:19 to 23, okay? It says it this way, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above, this is the point, all principality, far above all principality and all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and given him and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the chief shepherd. Keep that in mind as we go here. The other picture in the scriptures that I see is another shepherd spoken of in the following verses. This shepherd, in my mind, I want to keep it in the rightful place. But I don't see really any other way in the scriptures. I know from our background, we cringe somewhat when we talk about being led. When somebody giving us direction and just leading us. It's sort of a, I'm not sure why, but it's just that maybe it's because it's been misused, but I still feel the same way. I still think it's scriptural. That under the chief shepherd in responsibility is the shepherds of the flock. It's those brethren amongst us here that we all have called out, and with God, we've called out. That's the shepherd. That's the other shepherd that I want to talk about here this morning. And I want to say this really careful. When I say what those shepherds should do, I'm only going to refer to the scriptures and maybe definitions of words, and that's it. Because I don't want to step anything beyond that, because I don't feel like, let me just read some verses to you, okay? In the Bible, the names are given as follows. So, really, I could never find it that those brethren amongst us are called shepherds. I don't really see it. However, there's indications of it. So it's bishop, elder, stewards. The name of another word is overseer. Them are in the scriptures, they're in the Bible. I said the name of a shepherd is never really given, but indicated in several of these verses. And we'll go through here, and I want to read these scriptures. And these are just for, I know you brethren know all these things, but I want to read them to you in the scriptures here, okay? 1 Peter 5, 1-5. If you want to, you can turn there. 1 Peter 5, 1-5. Okay, so I'm just going to read these verses, and then I'm going to go through a couple of definitions of these words. So, let's read, okay? The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness, this is Peter talking here, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's some key words. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. That's another word. So feed, take oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples. That's another word. Ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, this is now turning to me, to us, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, as we heard, put on a white apron to serve, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Years ago, I wrote this down on the top of my Bible. Henry Clausen, I think it was, is where it comes from, but this a picture of a servant in verse 5, put on a white apron, like a chef, like a, you know, somebody that's doing something for someone else. Serve. Let's look at a few of these words here, okay? What I did, just look these words up in the concordance and found the Greek meaning or definition. And you probably know, you know, it's not a lot of special different meanings, but we already know, I think. So here we are. The elders are here exhorted to feed the flock of God. The flock indicating sheep and a shepherd. Flock is shown in Luke 12, 32. I'd like to read that. Luke 12:32. It says this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Flock, it appears many times in the scriptures. It's there. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Acts 20, 28 and 29, we can look at that too. Um, Acts 20, 28 and 29. Okay, so it says this. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now maybe this is Luke. Maybe it's Paul, actually. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after mighty parting shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Okay. A overseer in the Greek is just definitions. To give oversight, to care. Here's another one that I like. To look diligently. To look diligently. Another meaning says one who guards. I mean, sometimes them words sound a little bit for us in our past, but one who guards, one who supervises. That's what it says. That's what an overseer is. To feed. Again, you brethren know these meanings. To shepherd. Here's the indication of a shepherd. The meaning is to shepherd, to take care of sheep, to rule, to lead. That's what it says. To be an ensample means to be a model, a pattern, a visual form to be copied, a pattern of behavior to be emulated. Psalm 23 and John 10, when speaking of the shepherd, seems to be speaking that the Lord Jesus and, okay, I already said this at the beginning, the Lord and Jesus Christ are the shepherd, and we all are his sheep. And this is where there's variance, and I would just, you guys can all chip in whenever, get correct or whatever. But if this can be used in John 10, when it talks about sheep and a shepherd there, if it can be used how an elder and his flock work together, there could be many conclusions. It could be. But I don't want to go there. I don't plan to go there. I'll leave that for you to decide. And like I said, John 10, 3 and 5 does give a picture. But my question is it of the church flock and the shepherd, or is it of Jesus Christ and his people? I would be open for some, you can determine that. Okay, we'll move on. So, the pictures, remember the pictures. What was the first picture, Steve? What was the first picture that we had in our mind? The chief shepherd? Somebody, what was the second one? Melvin? The local shepherds. Yeah, just amongst us, those who amongst us that serve. The other picture in my mind is this. The flock, the church body, the brotherhood, the saints. In real simple terms, it's the brothers and sisters and the children that make up a local assembly of believers that gather together on a regular basis for fellowship. That's what it is. That's what the flock is. I know you all know that, but that's what it is. It's a flock. Together. Togetherness. And today it seems like more than ever there is, it's like there's this pressure to be our own. Be our own, do our own things, do my own things, pull away and be strong on my own. And I'll talk about this after a bit. But just, I have my own convictions. You have your own. And Brother Mark has his own, and Nate has his own. And we all stand real strong on our own convictions. And we'll try to have church together, even if we don't quite agree. You know, and we'll leave that all for a minute. I got a thought on that. Somebody shared that with me the other day. Another picture that I like to give to you. Okay, when we consider a body, like our body, all of you, and its very intricate designs and function, how it works together very well to the edifying and cleansing and nourishing and healing of itself. Amazing. I cut my hand here about a week ago. Helped my other brother Arlen do something. This thing was probably three times the size. I shaved off that skin and it was bleeding. And it's like shrinking down, shrinking down, shrinking down. And I tend to pick scabs and that's a bad habit, but it's getting smaller and it's healing all on its own. Amazing. Amazing. The flock now, as we consider how intricate and how beautiful that is, the flock is compared to a body in the Word of God. It's compared that way. In the following verses, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, I'd like to turn there. We already read that, but that's all right. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, flip your page over. Let's read here. That's a couple verses, just find it if you can, and there's something about laying your eyes on that Bible and reading it. I tell you, it takes effort to do that and to stay right there because a lot of things pulled away. Digital readings and all that, it's probably all right, but there's just nothing like it, I don't think. So, Brother John D. Martin, he has this Bible. And if you've ever seen it, it's an old Bible. And he told me that it's pretty old. But he's had it rebound like numbers of times. He keeps... If the binding comes apart, he'll send it back in, and they rebind it again. There's something precious about that word laying in your lap and in mine today. Let's not forget that. Ephesians 11, okay, here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that, I like to say this way with this verse, so that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? Now this verse, just picture in verse 16, it is so intricate. I picture in verse 16 your body, the bands and the joints and the muscles that hold everything together so perfectly. Here we go. This is from Christ the head, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, maybe Brother Steve's joint, Brother Albie, the joints, your different joints, by every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Powerful. I think if we just picture that, and I'm not a medical person, I don't know, but just simply the muscles and the tendons and how everything stays together. I mean, who can fathom? We can't. It works perfect. It works beautiful. Okay. I just wrote note 11 or in verse 14 to 16 that we'd be no more children tossed to and fro and that we would speak the truth in love. And remember this, that we may grow up into him in all things. I feel like sometimes I don't do very well in growing. But see, I think the scriptures would indicate and would help, would indicate that we should grow. You know, we should become something more, something better, something more pure, more holy, more ready to meet God, whatever, than what it was some time ago. I think the scriptures would indicate that we would grow. We would grow. We would grow together. And that's the other key, grow together as a church family, and I'll come back to that. Verse 16, a picture of a body that is fitly fit it together very beautifully. All the joints supply. Every part is doing its part. Wonderful. And we have often heard the thought. We've heard of this. People have said it. You've heard it from messages, whatever. Of the hand saying, I don't need you. It is an incredible thought. And it is absurd. It's absurd for your foot to say, I don't need you. Go away from me. In fact, I mean, it wouldn't work. It's not even possible. If Brother Nelson was to take and cut his hand off, I mean, he would become handicapped. It would become a handicapped body. He would become sick, most likely. And what else would happen eventually? Brother James, what would happen eventually? I mean, if you do these things to you long enough, what's going to happen? Eventually die. Yeah, that's right what I wrote down. Just a picture. Follow the picture. It's absurd. But wait a minute. This is what I asked myself. I was thinking about this. But wait a minute. Maybe this comes closer to me than what I think. Maybe a bit closer home. Think about it. As we mentioned, this sounds and is so incredibly far out to do that. You would never think of your one eye plucking it out. But yet, this very thing in the body of Christ happens over and over and over and over again down through history. A church begins and things go along very well. There's a flowing love. There's much forgiveness from and to, you know, to Melvin, Melvin to me. You know, it's no big deal. Let's move on. I forgive you. The Word of God is precious. Brother and sister will easily and gladly lay down his life for their life, their ideas, their will, and they'll serve one another. This happens again and again. If you just look at history, read the books, study the history. I know there could be a lot of thoughts that go through your mind at this time. But what about this? But what about that? But what about this brother? What about this sister? Maybe they're erring in the congregation. But what about that? Let's just keep it for a moment. We'll come back to that. Will you read 1 Corinthians 12, 11 to 27? Let's turn there, please, if you could. First Corinthians 12, 11 to 27. Hang on, I don't think that's correct. Yes, it is. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 to 27. I'd like to ask Melvin, will you stand up and read that? Like, turn around so everybody can hear you and just read it out loud, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 11 to 27.
Bye.
Thank you. Wow, did you follow through there? That's amazing. That's amazing. So the question, it was said in here, if all were one member, where were the body? So could you picture all of us, maybe a foot, just a bunch of feet around here? Never. Wouldn't even think about it. You know, and the interesting thing is that it says too, now, nay, much more, these members of the body which are seen to be more feeble are necessary. And I'll bring something real close home. This is just, now, it's a blessing, okay? So, how many of you thank the Lord? It might sound a little bit humorous. I hope it's not. How many of you thank the Lord that you can go to the bathroom? Think about it. Think about it. If you can't, what's going to happen? Jonas? You'll die. Next time you go past a dialysis place somewhere, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. People can't, for medical reasons, it happens. But it's like the most basest part of us, we think, but maybe not. We won't go without it. We'll die. So in other words, that most out of sight, out of mind part of the member of the body is most certainly necessary. Let's remember that. Okay, thank you for reading that, Melvin. So I have another picture in my mind. This one, okay, we can go up here on the board just a bit. So I have yet another picture in my mind. Listen, the flock divided. The flock scattered. The flock at great odds. The flock that is not able to love. The flock with wolves amongst them. The flock with sheep that are hurt. The flock that looks and is more like the world and its allurements. And finally, a flock dispersed. I had a picture too, I was going to tell Sally, but mountains and out around there, maybe some mountains and trees and rocky cliffs and things. Out around that, the flock dispersed. Out on the cold, rugged mountains and caves, trying to find rest and shelter. Once again, for each little sheep in their fold. Some, this is the ironic part. Brother Sam Hosteller shared it with us down there Friday night if you were there. Some never return to the fold. Some never make it back. That's the ironic part. That's the silver part. Some never make it back. Some are hurt. They're hurt for life. Maybe they're maimed. Who knows? And some with great difficulty do make it back. Maybe there's, you know, maybe you end up, I talked to a brother down in Bern there, and he said he was at a fellowship where things began to go really liberal, very worldly. And he was thinking that I can make it, we can make it. And he said I was so wrong. He lost his oldest son, became friends with those people. And when his dad saw the reality of it and had to move away, his son stayed. Those things happen. And sometimes they're out of our hands. And I've said this before, my chapter is not written yet. But by the grace of God. Picture in your mind with me. We have this book at home. I don't even know the name of it. But it's about a flock of sheep. Most of you probably have this book if you'll hear me. A flock of sheep that are very content in a warm, nice, straw-bedded fold. And there's one sheep that doesn't want to. He don't want to. He finds himself up in the mountains somewhere because he got out that day and he ate too much. He fell over on his back. How many know the story? You know, I'm talking about the book. I don't even know the name of it. But he fell over and he was completely helpless. Completely helpless up there by himself until his master came and found him. Until the shepherd came and found him. And he was able to make it back home. He gladly went with the shepherd back to the fold. Picture that beautiful fold. I think that picture in that book where the shepherd's coming down with the sheep, there's a nice fold. I think there's a couple lights in it. There's straw. The sheep are laying there, contented, warm. Picture that. Now, let's picture it again. When there is strife and division, there's dividings, there's fightings, there's struggles for power. I'll be honest with you. Preeminence, we like preeminence. And we begin to hurt one another. Picture what happens in that fold. My heart is this, that our body our body here today, very precious, but if we're not intentional, we're not careful, history will happen again. History never lies. It never lies. I wrote down, why, oh, why does this happen or need to happen? Unfortunately, it happens again and again. There's many, many reasons for these things to happen. And I'm only going to mention a few. I know you could add to it. You can take away or discard. I just share these things in humility. The tendency to have a church of families instead of a church family. This is borrowed from a brother. On Thursday afternoon, we was talking. Now hear that again. Listen carefully. The tendency to have a church of families instead of a church family. Now, I want to explain that. You know, we have the indication that we're to be high priests over our home and take care of our church, our little flock, if you will, okay? But can that take precedence over the church family? In other words, Brother Mart, he has his family, and he feels this way about a certain thing, and he's very strong. And maybe Brother Willie feels a little different about that. But Willie feels as strong against him as the other way. And picture that throughout the body, okay? That's what I mean about a church of families instead of a church family where we are as one. We endeavor by the grace of God to just be as one, to do whatever it takes to be as one. That's the heart of God. I believe it is, okay? In these days, and this is an old hat, I know that, but I think it's still okay to mention it in our own home. I see it first. In these days, the digital way that we communicate with each other has greatly strengthened a Christianity that really does not need each other. It has made a huge impact. It's amazing. Maybe the phone calls. Maybe we should make more phone calls. Maybe just, I know a text is handy, but try it. Let's try it. Maybe this digital communication with little smiley faces and all those trying to display our emotions to the other person over there, it has made a great departure from communication. It has just taken it so far away that I don't say it happens in here. I think we can communicate pretty well, but I think it can affect us. I think it does. You know, think about it. Just think about it. And then I wrote down, we tend to gravitate away from the Word of God and the principles of God and the people of God. I don't know why that is. I'm not sure. Somebody have some thoughts why that might be? Someone? Marlon, do you? Wonderful. What about you, Stephen? Somebody else, and I'd give some thoughts if somebody has something. Okay. So we tend to navigate away from the Word of God and the principles of God and the people of God. And I just thought about this. Let us be a people of God that go the other way. That turn, you know, the world and all of its allurements and attractions and its fun, and, you know, that we would turn from that and unto God and each other. Now, some time ago, I said about some of you may be asking questions. What about this? What about that? But in this whole thing of unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there needs to be an umbrella over the whole thing. Picture that with me, that says that we're going this way. You know what I mean? The picture is we want unity and peace, but the overall umbrella and picture should be that of we're going towards God, towards His Word, towards His principles. What becomes very difficult and cloudy and muddy is when under that umbrella we have those that are endeavoring to do that maybe, and maybe I'm pulling out from there, you know, pulling out from there. That's not unity. That's not brotherhood. But the whole umbrella could be under that. If you could have an umbrella that has written all around it, moving and growing more into the grace of Christ. John D. Martin says, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I appreciated that. In other words, it's all there. It's all there. That we can grow into His image more, this umbrella that we're under, not only are we speaking of unity and love and building each other up and moving forward, but it's all moving this direction. It's all under holiness. It's all walking that way. Does that make sense? I think it's in the Scripture. There's no other way. Okay, I'd like to read something to you, and I'm going to play it to you. I've appreciated this song as a disclaimer. I'm not so fond on the quartet style, but the first time I heard it, it made me weep when I heard it. I'm going to read it to you, okay? All of you heard this, I think. Whatever happened to death do us part? Does the whole reflect the heart? Parents' faces tell worried minds. While children search but cannot seem to find. It's time we took a closer look, got back to living by the holy book. No compromise, let's don't get slack, because we'll go forward. We just go back. And I don't mean, you know, there could be confusion on that. Go back. People say that, let's go back. Well, to this, you know, the principles here, we're in a day and age, and
certainly cultures affect the way we live, and there's changes that happen. But this, back to this, this here, in your lap, that's what we need to go back to, right there.
We've got to go back to living true. We're going back to the absolutes. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there's a wrong. Not this gray. Back to where there's a black or white. You see the differences like day or night. We're going back to the things above. We're going back to our first love. I think about that just briefly. And some have told us, have sort of accused us maybe, lost your first love. You've lost it. But back then, we had love for one another. But I think I was pretty ignorant about the Word of God. I was pretty ignorant about church, direction, structure, authority. That was missing. So our first love, let's not get that confused with that. We'll know a tree by the fruit we see. Serving God has no in-betweens. We're either cold or we're hot. He said lukewarm will have no part. It's coming down to in or out. It's almost a little bit soft words, but there's no time for playing around. We can just take it for what it is. We're going back to the lost or found. We're going back to stand our ground. Now, that might picture, you know, would you picture the shepherds, I'm talking about our brethren here that stand amongst us, standing outside of there with their swords and their, you know, and maybe brothers too, trying to get out there. We're standing on the walls and we're standing our ground. That's not the picture. That's not the picture that it gives. Then we will rise like a sleeping giant, standing tall in God's strength and might. The power we claimed for so long, it's returning, we're being made strong. We're not looking to the left or the right. Our eyes are spirit-led. We're going back to true or false. We're going back to Calvary's cross. Let Brother Matt play this here and just listen to the words. The first time I heard it, it caused me to weep, and I do appreciate it. Although it is quartet, it's still okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Whatever happened to death do us part? Does the poem reflect the heart? Errant faces tell worried minds, while children search but can't seem to find. It's time we took a closer look, got back to living by the hope. No compromise, let's don't get slack, 'cause we'll go forward if we'll just go back. We've got to go back to living truth. We're going back to the absolutes, back to where the church stands strong, back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love.
Listen and think.
We'll know tree by the fruit we see. Serving God has no in between. We're either cold or we're hot. He said lukewarm will have no part. It's coming down to in or out. There's no time for playing around. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love. We'll know a tree by the fruit we see. Serving God has no in between. We're either cold or we're hot. He said lukewarm will have no part. It's coming down to in or out. There's no time for playing around. We're going back to lost or found. We're going back to stand our ground. We've got to go back to living true. We're going back to the absolutes. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love. Then we will rise like a sleeping giant, standing tall in God's strength and might. The power we've claimed for so long, it's returning, we're being made strong. We're not looking to the right or left. Our eyes are spirit-led. We're going back to true or false. We're going back to Calvary's cross. We've got to go back to living true. We're going back to the absolutes. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love.
Thank you, Matt. I mean, there's some words in that first verse that I did not recognize. Whatever happened to death do us part, does the whole reflect the heart? And I believe that's correct. The third line, parents' faces tell worried minds. Amazing. Children, young people, you want your parents to be encouraged, submit to them. Honor them. Be a blessing. Brother John and Steve and Sally and Martin, I have a verse for you guys. You guys can read these. Brother Steve, you want to read John 17, 20 to 23. Brother John, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 13. Brother Martin, Philippians 1, 27. Sally, Philippians 2, 1 to 5. And if you would, it'd be a blessing to stand up and so everybody can hear it, just read loudly, whatever.
Thank you. writing? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized for Paul?
Brother Mark.
Only that you understand. Be every time. That whether I come and see you, or else you got you. I may hear of your affairs, but you stand past my spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Solid. Thank you. You heard the word of God there about being one and one accord and one mind, and you heard from the brethren that are endeavoring to lead this flock. Let's take it to heart. This will take an intentional, true, outward effort from each member. Each member. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. It's not just me. I believe I failed in that. But it's not just me. You also. And let us not only hear, but also bend our will to our brother. The last and final picture that I have is this. It won't take long anymore here. The flock that is united, walking together, submitting, picture that little fold, maybe a roof over there with some straw and it's dark outside, maybe snowing and raining. The sheep are in there, they're very content. The shepherd may be at the door. He may go out and observe things. Submitting to the guidance and direction. Now, take this with care. And I want to just encourage us in this. Submitting to the guidance and direction of those who are over us in the Lord as they're guided by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let's do that, brothers. Do it. We also can hear from the Lord, but I think that idea sometimes can be overpowering the idea of our brethren leading us too. And therefore, they can't do it. That's brothers. I'm talking about brothers right here. Let's just think about it. Then someday when our Lord returns, that flock, that beautiful little flock, maybe it's small, most likely will be, will enter the gates into that city together for all eternity to be with the Lord. Let us aspire, me first, to walk humbly under that great fountain that flows from the throne of God, the Word of God, from the church here, and trusting the shepherd to lead us home. Here's the last verses for you, okay? Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. It says this, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Sorry, Isaiah 40, 9 to 11, if you want to go there. Number 11, I appreciate this verse. It's such a beautiful picture of that fold. It says, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. With his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those with young. Lord bless you all. That's all I have for today.